Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
One of the interesting facts about the book of Daniel is that it is written in two languages, Aramaic and Hebrew. Most of chapters 2 through 7 are written in Aramaic, one of the common languages used in Babylon and also for the Jewish people for some time. And chapter 1 and chapters 8 through 12 are written in Hebrew. This is probably the case because the focus of the chapters, written in Aramaic, is on what occurred and what happened to the Babylonian Empire and the succeeding powers. The chapters written in Hebrew concern primarily the Jewish people and God's plan for His kingdom. In this lesson, we are going to consider Daniel's visions in chapters 7 through 12. So far in the lessons that we covered in this book, the content has been, for the most part, strictly chronological. Now Daniel goes back in time to share a vision that he had. He begins by pointing out that this occurred in the first year that Belshazzar was in power and reigning over the kingdom. Daniel describes four beasts or animals that he sees coming up from the sea that did not resemble each other at all. The first one is like a lion with eagle's wings. Daniel is watching it until its wings are plucked, and it is made to stand up like a human and receives a human heart. Then Daniel sees another animal. This one looks like a bear that is on its side with three ribs in its mouth, and someone tells it to devour much flesh. After this, he sees another animal, and this one looks like a leopard, but it has four wings and four heads and is given a degree of dominion. Following this is a fourth beast that Daniel describes as dreadful and terrible and extremely strong. It has iron teeth, and it is able to destroy anything that gets in its way. This beast also has 10 horns, and as Daniel is looking at them, he sees another horn arise that pulls out 3 of the first 10 horns that he saw. This horn has human eyes and is speaking presumptuously. Daniel continues watching, and suddenly thrones or chairs are set up for something like a court scene or trial, and a very old man sits down who is called the Ancient of Days, whose clothes are pure white, as is his hair. His throne appears to be described as a chariot, almost like a chariot of fire. He is also surrounded with thousands upon thousands of beings, probably angels. Daniel sees the beast being slain. The dominion of the other beasts is taken away, but somehow their lives are prolonged. And then Daniel sees someone, like the Son of Man, coming down to this Ancient of Days. To him is given dominion, glory, and a kingdom so that the entire world will serve him, and his dominion will last forever. It is an everlasting dominion which shall not be destroyed. Daniel is alarmed and deeply troubled. These visions did not make any sense to him at all. What could they possibly mean? Daniel goes to one of them that stood by, maybe one of the angels, and he asks him, "What does all of this mean?" The response is that these beasts or animals actually represent kings or kingdoms that will be present here on earth. Do you remember the large statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about? Do you remember how that statue represented kingdoms that would come after Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom would be destroyed? It appears that these beasts are simply another representation of these kingdoms. Most commentators agree that these are representations of the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, Greece under the rule of Alexander the Great, and the Roman Empire. And the one horn that arises and subdues three of the other rulers is believed to be Antiochus Epiphanes. We read in verse 25 that this ruler will speak terrible things against God and will greatly oppress the saints of God, but God's kingdom will ultimately prevail. We know from history that Epiphanes terribly oppressed the Jewish people and intentionally defiled the temple any way he could. But at the end of chapter 7, again we read that the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. This sounds a lot like the rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands that destroyed the statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream and ultimately filled the whole earth. Chapter 8 gives us another vision that Daniel had. This one took place during the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. In this one, he sees a ram with two horns, but one horn is higher than the other. And he sees the ram pushing west and north and south, and no other animal could prevail against him. The ram did whatever he wanted. And as Daniel is watching this ram, he sees a goat coming up. And this goat has a remarkable horn coming out between his eyes. The goat attacks the ram and breaks both of his horns. The goat completely destroys the ram. But as the goat continues to grow, the horn that he had was broken and was replaced with four other horns. And out of one of these four horns came another one, which became very, very great. And Daniel sees this horn casting down some of the stars of heaven to the ground. And then we read that the daily sacrifice was taken away by him. Daniel hears one of the saints asking, "How long will this transgressing take place?" The answer is very specific, 2,300 days, and then the sanctuary will be cleaned. Again, Daniel does not know what to make of this vision. He hears a voice saying, "Gabriel, make this man understand the vision." Gabriel comes to Daniel and says, "Understand, son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." Daniel appears to go almost into a trance as he is lying face down on the ground, but Gabriel touches him and sets him up. Gabriel tells him what he sees is that the ram actually represents the kings of Media and Persia. The goat is the king of Greece, which would be none other than Alexander the Great. The one that rises up is not given a name, but again, history tells us that this is Antiochus Epiphanes, who profaned the temple, terribly persecuted the Jews for a time. It is believed that the 2300 days, which is a little short of 7 years, refers to the time period that Epiphanes persecuted the Jews until Jerusalem was finally retaken by Judas Maccabees. Daniel is told to shut up the vision, that is, keep it, because it will be for many days. In other words, the fulfillment of this vision will occur quite a few years later on in the future. The vision and its explanation has worn Daniel out. We read in the final verse of this chapter, "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days." He was astonished by it. And even with the explanation he was given, he did not fully understand it. Which makes sense, of course, because he was seeing events symbolically that would take place centuries in the future. In chapter 9, Daniel relates that he understood the meaning of part of Jeremiah's prophecy during Darius' first year of reigning. Specifically, he is referring to the fulfillment of the 70 years of desolation of Jerusalem. It appears that even though by studying Jeremiah's writing, he understood that eventually the Jewish people would be able to return to Jerusalem to rebuild it and the temple, he did not know when this would ultimately occur. So what we have in the remainder of the chapter is Daniel's prayer and supplication to God is that God would fulfill his promises. But he also recognizes the sin of the Jewish nation, and he includes himself in it. For example, in verses 5 and 6, he says, "We have sinned and done, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." We see the sincerity of his prayer in these verses. He includes himself as part of the problem. Take some time to carefully read his prayer that we find in verses 4 through 19. This is a prayer that we should all try to model when we bring our needs before God. As Daniel was praying, bringing his supplication before God, and confessing the sins of the people and of himself, Gabriel came to him, the same Gabriel that appeared to him in his earlier vision. Gabriel gives Daniel some very specific information. He speaks about 70 weeks that are determined upon the people and upon the holy city. He speaks about the restoration and rebuilding of Jerusalem. He speaks about a Messiah, the Anointed One. He speaks about 7 weeks. He speaks about 62 weeks. And he speaks about the Messiah being cut off. He speaks about the destruction of the city and the sanctuary. He also speaks about the covenant being confirmed. He speaks about the sacrifice and the offerings coming to an end. But what does this all mean? There have been many interpretations of these numbers. There is a consensus that the 70 weeks are really 70 weeks of years. In other words, 490 years. There is also a lot of speculation of when this period begins and ends. Some traditional interpretations believe that this is referring to the time period between this prophecy and the birth of Christ. Some also believe that the cutting off of the Messiah refers to the crucifixion of Christ, and after this, the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. And this did indeed happen in 70 AD. There are other interpretations that have to do with when Cyrus would allow the people to return and to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. There are other interpretations that have to do with the end times. Regardless of which is correct, we can be sure that God's will was or will be fulfilled in due time. In chapter 10, Daniel brings us to the third year of Cyrus the king when he has another vision. He tells us he was by a great river when he sees a man with a rather frightening appearance. He says his face had the appearance of lightning and his eyes like lamps of fire, and that his voice was like the voice of a large crowd. Even though Daniel was with other men, he was the only one who saw the vision. The rest became so frightened that they ran to hide themselves. This is somewhat similar to what happened to Saul on his way to Damascus, when he also heard the Lord speaking to him, but the men with him only heard the sound of a voice, but not the words themselves. Once again, Daniel has to be raised up from the ground upon which he was lying by the one who spoke to him. This man is going to tell Daniel what is going to happen in the future. In chapter 11, we have some detailed information about what is going to take place in the coming centuries. If we look at the description of the various kings and their relationships, we can see that more than likely, this chapter is likely about some of the leaders during the 3rd and 2nd centuries BC. This consists of a survey of the history from the beginning of the Persian period down to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, followed by a description of the Messianic Age to begin afterwards. The description is brief and general in its earlier part, more detailed in the later parts. The angel first refers briefly to the doings of four Persian kings and of Alexander the Great with the divisions of his empire after his death, then narrates more fully the leagues and conflicts between the kings of Antioch, the kings of the north, and of Egypt, the kings of the south, in the centuries following. And finally, most fully of all, describes the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, including his conflicts with Egypt and the persecution of the Jews. The death of Antiochus is followed by a resurrection of Israelites and the advent of the Messianic Age. The revelation is intended to show that the course of history is in God's hands, and that though it may bring with it a period of trial for his people, this will be followed at the appointed time by its deliverance. It is thus designed particularly for the encouragement of those living in the season of trial, that is under the persecution of Antiochus. It is accordingly to be sealed up by Daniel until then. At the same time, it also appears that there may be several layers of prophecy in these chapters. There are certain parts that appear to be speaking of judgment, that is the final judgment. For example, in chapter 12, verse 2, we have the language that is very similar to that in the New Testament that is also speaking about the end of the world. Also in chapter 7, verse 10, the description of the judgment that is taking place there is very similar to the description of the final judgment. So I think it is important to allow for the possibility that some of these prophecies have multiple levels of meaning, and like many of the other Old Testament prophecies, they have both a relatively immediate fulfillment, but also have other types of fulfillment as well that will take place well into the future. Let it suffice for us to see through these visions that God will not tolerate the wicked forever, that God will always remember his people, and that God will never forsake his word, nor the work of his own hands.